Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
You know, Castlevania.
There you go.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that's also acceptable.
You know what the sad thing is? The best parts of the Caribbean video game is the Lego one.
The Lego games are all good.
That's because they're the exact same thing.
Right.
Every one.
They're very simple and they're fun. The Lego games are fine. There's no problem with them.
Oh, Team Zimmer. Why can't we have Christmas? Why can't Christmas have like a score? Like someone could score Christmas.
I mean,
not a score from a movie. I'm talking like Hans Zimmer, who I would not recommend for it because I think Hans Zimmer is pretty terrible. But someone should.
What's Hans Zimmer scored?
He did all the Batman sound. He did like the.
Oh, I was gonna say because I thought Danny Elfman did the Batman song and it was good.
No, the Batman, the new ones, the Nolan ones.
Ah, okay, I see.
Danny Elfman's
Nolan verse.
Danny Elfman's is.
Yeah, the iconic Batman song. The most iconic Batman song there is. Yes, that is correct.
No,
they even used
the
variant
for
that in the
Batman one. The most iconic Batman song is na 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 na.
No, the Danny Elfman one is way more. Although I will give you that the Adam West one has lots of cachet.
Old chum.
Yeah, but like the because also the animated series used the Danny Elfman song as well.
Yeah, a little bit. They modified it. Yeah,
it's like a remixed. Well, I mean, the Batman animated series is a remixed version of Batman. So it makes sense.
I was watching Nightbreed by the Clive Barker movie. Because that's on Amazon right now. And it's got like a total like Danny Elfman score. I want to know the movie Danny Elfman thought he was scoring when he was scoring Nightbreed.
He probably knew what he was scoring. He was just like, yes. Danny Elfman's a weird fucking dude. So he's probably, all of that was probably completely intentional.
It's this standard Danny Elfman, like giant brass sound. Like, it sounds like Batman in a lot of ways. And it's like, this soundtrack is, this movie does not deserve this soundtrack at all.
What's wrong with Clive Barker?
I like Clive Barker, but Clive Barker does not deserve this gigantic fanfare Danny Elfman. Clive Barker is like, that's the type of person who needs the Goblin soundtrack that we were talking about before.
Yeah, but not the one from Suspiria, because the Goblin soundtrack from all the zombie movies is great. It's all synth.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it needs to be like a little like synthy.
Yeah. You know, That's why I was so surprised when you said you didn't like Goblin. I was like, but Goblin's great, but
I only know it from Suspiria,
right.
So
you haven't heard their synth jams.
What's that train you got up there? The one in the Warhammer box.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the it's the Eternity Stairs and the
Eternity Stairs.
The Dreadfire Portal.
With the Dreadfire Portal.
Yeah. That's what it is.
I hate that soundtrack so much. And you know what I hate most about it? I hate that people jizz all over that soundtrack.
I don't think it's a very good soundtrack.
It set movie music back like 30 years in the world.
It's because the scenes that were in that the were scored were very good scenes. So people remember the scene and they remember hearing the music. And that's what it is. It's like oh yeah, yeah.
I just think
because
I think about the '90s. '90s had so many great soundtracks to it.
And like White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah, it's like White Man Can't Jump. Mm-hmm. Dead Presidents. Can we name other?
Don't be but it's a South Central. Drinking your juice in the hood.
Yeah. But then the 2000s.
The Last Boy Scout.
2000s, the last great soundtrack of the 2000s.
Stargate, also 90s.
Yeah, well, Stargate's an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about great soundtracks.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, once you get to the 90s and the 2000s, though, it's like you have Lord of the... It stops in, like, 2003. It's like Return of the King and...
Yeah, so the Lord of the Rings soundtracks are excellent.
I can't remember when Pirates of the Caribbean came out.
It's 2000s.
So. It was early 2000s. Yeah. I want to say it was, like, 2003. And then it was, like, it just all stopped. Like, there was no great soundtracks after that. The only other soundtrack I could think of from the 2000s that I legitimately enjoyed was the Star Trek reboot, the 2009 Star Trek soundtrack, which I think was a good soundtrack.
Good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Did Avatar have a good soundtrack?
Not really.
I don't fucking...
That's another Zimmer one.
Avatar is one of those movies that's like, I know it exists. I know I've seen it more than once.
It's because you're not Chinese.
I can't remember a fucking thing about it.
Because you're not Chinese.
Yeah, I just can't remember Avatar because of my lineage.
It's true. The only people that care about Avatar are the Chinese. It's the only reason why Jim Cameron's making like 30 of them.
He's so fucking many of those movies.
Because the Chinese love that shit. The Chinese loved Venom, too. Like, Venom was like the biggest movie opening in China.
It seems like
ever.
A lot of people really liked Venom.
I don't know. I like the soundtrack. The soundtrack was actually pretty good. Well, not the score, but the soundtrack.
The one review that made me want to actually watch Venom, which I thought was pretty great, was this guy. He's like, this movie was an absolute fucking train wreck. It was unreal. Blah, blah, blah was terrible. Like, he just like went on this like huge fucking like tirade. It was like 17 tweets of how shitty it was. And he's like, that all being said, I loved it and I want 10 more. And I was just like, all right, I'll watch this movie.
It was a terrible movie. My review for Game Informer, 9 out of 10.
Yeah, he was like, I fucking loved it and I want more. And I was like, okay.
All right.
It checks out.
So we got a couple important things to talk about. We're doing a late night recording.
Important.
Of this.
That's bold.
No, the stuff we're going to talk about is important. You're going to see in a second. We're doing a late night recording of this podcast because this weekend, you know, I got the Christmas season starting already, so.
It's the holiday season, so whoop-dee-doo, and hickory-dock,
da-da-da, around suck the my clock. Cock.
You're coming down the chimney now. The chimney's my ass.
The chimney would be the dick. It's coming out the chimney.
No, they're coming down the chimney.
Oh,
so,
well, I guess, yeah, okay.
You can't come down your dick. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Even with sound, I mean, unless you're talking like some sort of extreme sounding where you've inserted a dick inside another dick and you're coming, one dick is coming inside another dick.
I'm just saying modern science is proven that many things are possible.
You're coming down the chimney now. Coming down the chimney now.
We're recording a late night recording, and some important things have come up on the Facebook page that I want to talk about. The differences between jam, jelly, and Jell-O.
Oh, yes. And then there was compote. And
there's compote. Yeah.
Jam, it's jam, jelly, preserves, and Jell-O.
Yes.
Because there's,
yeah, well, Jell-O is jelly. In America, Jell-O is jelly. It's just the brand.
Jell-O and jelly are the same thing.
Well, no. No. In UK, Jell-O and jelly are the same thing. That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
In America, Jell-O is a brand name gelatin dessert.
Right. Correct.
With the
Jell-O pudding pops.
I'm in jail now.
I'm definitely going to be in prison for the rest of my short life.
We started this podcast. We wanted Bill Cosby to be our dungeon master. And then that all happened. And it was pretty awful.
It's true.
But we also in America, we have jelly, which is essentially preserves with none of the solid fruit in it.
Right.
Yes. Or jam.
Jam. It's preserves with no solid fruit.
Yes.
And then you have preserves, which is like jam with solid fruit.
Yes.
Yes.
Once again, though, it's like, did you see the British Christmas cake? Did you see that picture I put up there of what Christmas cake is?
It was like fruitcake.
I don't know.
But there's also cheese.
Cheese.
Like, I mean, fruitcake is also awful. And it's just like, oh, okay. I'm glad that there's a disgusting cake. I'm glad that there is a disgusting holiday cake also for Britain.
What do you think we get fruitcake from? Fruitcake was obviously not designed in America.
The only thing that America has designed is like what, the hot dog, and like that's debatable.
Well, the hamburger
is
hamburger is an American staple.
Okay, so we've got the hamburger.
The
and that's
deep
it.
Dish pizza.
Wait, are we counting pizza?
Well, I'm saying deep dish pizza.
Is deep dish from...
Deep dish is an American.
Okay, so we got deep dish and hamburger.
Okay, Italian beef. Like an Italian beef sandwich. I mean, granted, it's called Italian beef, but, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to begrudge that one. I'll say that's sketch.
Yeah, that's a pure American. That's a pure Chicago thing. Italian beef.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that definitively. Of course, Chicago has the best Italian beef.
No, we're like the only ones who have Italian beef. Don't you know this? People like come to
other places call it like chopped beef and stuff.
Yeah, we don't talk
or
about
or Philly cheesesteak, which is like kind of like an Italian beef, except it has cheese sauce instead
because the cheesesteak is completely different, sir. It's a completely different animal.
Well, I mean, it's the same basic principle. It's a fucking Italian.
Yeah.
It's Italian bread with fucking sliced beef in it.
Yeah.
Like, but what the Italian beef is the au jus and
the
peppers.
Yes.
Instead of that, you have cheese for a cheesesteak. Yeah. It's the up until the point where you top it, it's the same sandwich.
Then you got fortune cookies. That's an American tradition. That's American. invented in America.
So we've got like some sketch as pot, like very sketchy food.
No, I think I would say America's food tradition. Basically, we take all the
Chinese food.
We take all of like the really shitty food that came over, you know, with all the poor people over to America, and we've just made it better, is what I'm saying. But we don't have the Christmas cake and cheese for some odd reason. I don't know. That looked horrible.
It's pretty wonky. But I mean, I've seen some pretty fucking horrible food. I mean, have you seen anything they make in the South other than barbecue? It's pretty bad. I've seen someone eat a watermelon and onion salad. Okay.
That's kind of rough. You know what though? I've heard watermelon something. It's like watermelon changes like the chemical composition of something, and it makes something that would normally be awful taste amazing. And I can't think of what it is right now.
Well,
and I'm sorry,
not onions. It's not. Let me tell you that it's not fucking onions.
Fried chicken though, very very southern thing, also delicious.
Yeah, but I mean that's not a.
Yeah, but the southern people perfected the southern fried chicken. Hey, Kentucky Fried Chicken, man. It's from Kentucky.
Well, see now we're gonna have people arguing about Popeyes because they're gonna say Popeyes is better.
Well, I'm not arguing about whether or not Popeyes or Kentucky Fried Chicken is better. I'm just saying the southern style fried chicken, amazing.
I don't think southern style fried chicken is the best. I think there's better fried chicken out there.
I will respectfully disagree. You know, I'm not going to respectfully disagree.
Unless it was made by a grizzled old black man. In that case, then it's going to be great.
I don't know. You get a good southern grandma making it. It's pretty good.
Nah. It'll be soggy.
I'm really bad too because I like stuff like I like ham hocks and pig's feet, knuckles.
That's pretty disgusting.
It's good.
It's pretty gross.
It's really good. I'm the only thing I don't like collard greens.
I love collard greens. How do you like fucking pig's feet and you don't like collard greens?
I just don't like collard greens. Just don't like it.
Is it because it's a vegetable?
Probably. Probably. Macaroni and cheese is a vegetable, right?
No, not even.
Southern style macaroni and cheese.
Not even remotely close. Mac and cheese is one of those things that's like, it seems like it should be a simple, easy to like not fuck up food. And it is one of the most fucked up foods. I'm sorry. It seems like it's just a very simple, you can't fuck this up food. And it is one of the foods that people fuck up the most I've ever seen.
Well, I'm also one of those people who I think that, I don't like baked macaroni and cheese. I've had
one baked macaroni and cheese that was really good, but their tech was after they baked it and pulled it out of the oven, they put fucking not easy cheese, but like spreadable cheese on top of it, like melted gooey, like the Philly cheesesteak cheese. They put that on
like
top.
Like a Velveeta.
Yeah, like a Velveeta. They put that on top of after it came out of the oven. That was pretty fucking good.
You know what I also don't like? I don't like breadcrumbs on my macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. That's just weird.
Thank you for agreeing. You're the only other person on this planet who agrees with me that breadcrumbs on macaroni and cheese is...
Yeah,
why would you put more carbohydrates on top of your carbohydrates?
Yeah, you don't need that.
It's like the macaroni and cheese is literally a form... noodle is a form of bread.
You don't need the bread on top of the bread.
Yeah, no.
Not necessary.
And then they talk about it's like a texture thing, but that's what the cheese is there for, is to provide the extra
it's
texture
that you
need.
It's supposed to be gooey, not crunchy.
Exactly.
Yeah, mac anyway, and cheese should be gooey, maybe chewy, not crunchy.
You know what's the one thing that kind of like give the way for what a lot of Europeans and people
pastries because
no,
they crush it with them.
No,
their
no,
pastry well, game is on point.
Yeah, but what they say about American food, like a one weird thing that they really don't like, is peanut butter. Like peanut butter to like Europeans is like this weird foreign. It's like Marmite.
Do they? Maybe I was thinking about that because that's the one dude. He said that.
Yeah.
That peanut butter and jam on bread is gross, and I was just like, how do you think that's gross? And the only thing I think of is they must have a different type of peanut
butter.
They
don't even have peanut butter.
See, there you go. See, American peanut butter, see,
it's just pure sugar.
It's fucking sweet as shit. It's like candy.
It's like Nutella.
Yeah. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich is like candy. It's candy on bread. That's why so many kids love it. Because it's sweet as shit.
I love peanut butter. It's my one weakness.
It's so sweet. That's the thing. I think that's probably what. Like, because like Marmite, it's like bitter and like yeasty.
Yeah.
Not like peanut butter at all. Maybe that's why. Maybe they think peanut butter is kind of like that. And I know like when they do Marmite, it's just Marmite on toast.
Yeah.
And maybe butter.
It's a thin spread of Marmite
on
toast.
And maybe butter. Yeah. You ever had
Marmite before?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yes. I would never want this as a snack. And I like a lot of weird snacks.
For me, that was my full top to bottom review of it was like, it's not bad. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to eat it, but I wouldn't be like, if someone was like, would you like some Marmite toast? I wouldn't be like, oh, no, disgusting. I'd probably be like, depending on how hungry I was, I might be like, yeah, all right. I'll have
it's
some
like,
that.
It's like, just goes to show you how much that Australians love beer is that they will take the sludge that's at the bottom of a beer tank.
The best is watching a British dude and an Australian dude argue Vegemite or Marmite.
That's
real good.
Yeah, it's is it the same thing?
Well, it's not. That's the thing.
Did I open up a whole can of worms?
Yeah, there's a huge thing, and I don't know where New Zealand falls on the Marmite Vegemite spectrum.
It's all right. It's all good, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they are. Hey, yeah, listen to my SoundCloud, man.
We need to go out and
that was
the dick.
Absolutely the best part of Black Panther for me was when he was like, when the dude made that offhand joke about him having a fucking rapper, and he's like, yeah, I've got my SoundCloud, I'll get you. And I was just like, yeah, that's great.
So anyway, let's get to some gaming stuff, considering the fact that we've talked for 15 minutes about the current state of US-European relations.
Yes, I mean, and like I said, I mostly go to bat for pastries. It seems that every European,
everywhere except Eastern Europe pretty much crushes it when it comes to pastries and candy.
Yeah.
Because then you go to Poland and you're like, this is a cookie? What the hell is this?
Yeah.
It's got like, plum. Plum is your fruit of choice?
Yeah, like sausage roll and fucking beef Wellington. Like, that's a, like, British pastry stuff? Yeah, yeah. French pastry stuff? Oh, yeah. And then other than that, most British food seems, other than like British breakfast, which is definitely, I'm normally pretty against you on the whole British food thing. British breakfast, I will stand against that. There's like beans.
Yeah.
Who eats, why do you eat beans at breakfast? Like, I don't like beans in general, well, let alone beans at fucking breakfast.
The problem, here's an American explaining British breakfast to a British person of why we think it's stupid. It's too much. You know, it's like, you look at, like...
For me, it's not even quantity. It's like, maybe it's... There's too many things.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's too much. Like if you just had some bacon on there and maybe some sausage, we'd be okay with it. You know, that's fine.
But there's beans. Why are there fucking beans?
It's not that there's beans. There's like a half a tomato on there.
Yeah, that's
right. And you're like, what the fuck is a half a tomato doing
on
there?
Well, I think it's because they just grabbed whatever they... Like, they were hungover, grabbed whatever they had, and just were like, it's breakfast.
Yeah.
And that became the British tradition.
And you got to have white and black pudding? It's like, you don't need all this shit.
Everything, yeah. You know what? Just give me some fucking rice and some natto, and
listen,
I'm fine.
We're from... The country that is the most, like, we'll go over the top when it comes to food. And on top of that, we're also from the part of America.
Fat people breakfast.
We go for fat people breakfast.
Yeah.
Like you want a stack of pancakes, you go to America.
There's 70 pancakes.
Yeah, it's 70
pancakes. But it's just pancakes.
It's just pancakes.
There's not pancakes and beans.
Exactly.
And this and that. I think it's what it is.
Yeah. You go to a restaurant here, you get your breakfast, you get your main thing that you're ordering, maybe you get a little side of bacon. Maybe you get some toast.
Yeah.
That's the largest
breakfast spread you can generally get in one, like, without ordering multiple things, would be the equivalent of like a grand slam.
Yeah.
Which is you get three pancakes, bacon, eggs, sausage, toast.
Yes.
Hash browns. That's it.
Is that everything on there? That's a big breakfast.
That's the grand slam.
Yeah.
That's everything. You get that's top to bottom.
You also have to go to Denny's.
Well, I'm saying most places that have an equivalent big breakfast, like anytime they say big breakfast, that's the big breakfast.
I guess,
eggs, sausage, bacon, three pancakes, toast, hash browns. That's like top to bottom almost every place. If you have if they have like Howie's big breakfast or like the big scrambler.
I'm trying to think
whatever.
Of like, if I'm looking at a picture of that, would it look as greasy as a British breakfast?
No, it's because the grease from the moisture from the beans seeps into everything on the plate.
That's the gross part. Anyway. Yeah. So let's talk about some gaming stuff. I actually texted you earlier about one thing that I wanted to talk about, was the Silent Titans RPG.
Romulan's gonna shoot you.
So Silent Titans is this company. I guess they're doing an RPG on Kickstarter. I don't know if it had ended yet. I was writing up my list of things I wanted to talk about today, and I saw it, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this game looks amazing.
Yeah, Silent Titans, very cool. Very cool looking game. Very high concept game. And Joe sent it to me, I said, that is a game that a lot of people are going to buy. And no one is going to play.
Yeah, it's got 22 days left on it, so you got plenty of time.
It's great. I think it looks beautiful. Like, it looks gorgeous.
It's one of the most gorgeous books I've ever seen in my life.
It's totally fucking 70s acid, too. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I had seen this artwork hanging in, say, the art museum, like, the Art Institute in Chicago, I would be like...
That checks out.
Yeah, this checks out. This is great art. The guy who did that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I think it's great. I might end up picking it up because it looks really good.
Yeah,
And he uses classic D&D rules, which I like.
Yeah, well, for me, I would... if I could find some of the original artwork to buy, I would do that.
You should message them on Kickstarter. They'd probably do prints.
Yeah, I mean, I would. Some of these prints are just unbelievable, and it's all super high concept. Like you're going through
like a dreamscape, and like the Titans are sleeping, and you're going through their dreamscape to try and keep them asleep and entering the waking world. It's fucking nonsense, and I love it.
The player characters fall through reality under mysterious circumstances, trademarked, and end up in Weir Heel, the plug hole of the metaverse.
I love it.
The plug hole. The only real problem are that they are lost in time, cut off from the rest of reality, dirt poor, and that the Titans themselves are waking up and going to end the world. As well as that, they have pissed off an evil pig.
See?
To prevail and escape Weir Heel, they must brave its nightmare-haunted shifting realities, find ways beneath the land, break into the Titans' sleeping minds, and steal their golden thoughts. This will put the Titans back to sleep, shift the reality back to something more closely approximating normal, and you will get to keep the gold. A simple enough operation. I'm like, it sounds, well, you're right. It's too high concept for, I think, most normal gamers. However.
Yeah, most of them, they want to kick the fucking door open and fight the monster inside the dungeon.
Yeah, they want a hobo murderer.
Yeah, they want to be a hobo murderer.
This is not for hobo murdering. This is for, like, when you want to get stoned and play Dungeons and Dragons
and
at the same
time.
And
be like, whoa. At the end.
Dude. That's not how stoned people actually talk.
No.
But most of the time,
you blew it.
Most of the
time, you blew your cover. You're a narc.
If the dungeon master is doing this and the guys are stoned, it's basically you just hear this throughout the entire discussion.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Yeah, mostly just crunching. Horrible, horrible crunching. Yeah.
And the dungeon master is, "What will you do?" And the guy's like, "Me? Oh, it's my turn.
I guess I attack him with my axe." You're in an inn. You're negotiating for payment. Oh, well, I guess I hit him with the blunt end of my axe. And then one of them's like, "Nice, blunt."
Now you've given yourself up as the narc.
No. I would say, would you like a jazz cigarette?
Jazz cigarette.
My absolute favorite colloquialism for a joint is jazz cigarette. Not even close. Like, that's so good.
But if you, I would definitely say just look at the Kickstarter and look at the art in this book and you'll just be like, fuck, this is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's badass.
That's what I definitely recommend that. Also, on the Kickstarter side, two things I wanted to talk about with Kickstarter. One, I did end up pledging for that printable sceneries, dwarfs, elves, and demons Kickstarter. A lot of cool shit that's going on in there, including some stuff that looks proprietarily Skaven, but I'm not going to say anything about that.
Shh.
Wink, wink, wink. It's fantastic, and I actually just finished off a couple prints that I had bought from them earlier. And they turned out really, really nice. So I can't really complain. It's a lot of work and more than normal when it comes to 3D printing. But I think that the terrain that you get out of it is just gorgeous in scale and scope on that one. I just wanted to also give an update on Kickstarter that Soda Pop Miniatures still hasn't shipped Super Dungeon Explorer Legends. It's 2 years now. I think they're going for...
There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes.
I think they might be going for the Kingdom Death record.
Oh.
How long was Kingdom Death?
Kingdom Death was like 3 years.
They might be going for the Kingdom Death record.
But one thing about Kingdom Death is they said it was going to take that long.
Oh yeah, and they delivered.
Yeah, and they said their next Kickstarter, again, when they ran the second one, they were like, it's also going to take a super long time.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. How long did Ogre take?
Ogre took a long fucking time.
Ogre was like one of the first Kickstarters ever, and it continued to go from there. But yeah, they, I just, from what I hear...
Have they gone radio silent? That's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's the bad part. Like, going radio silent is bad.
I think that they went radio silent because the guy that was, like, in charge of, like, their media, whatever, I think he either quit or got fired or something like that.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they might not just have anybody on that currently.
Mm.
It looks like I'm out a couple bucks, so whatever. I should have got out when I did, but you know what? I have faith in companies. I like Soda Pop. I think I always think that they're nice guys, but you know what? Nice guys doesn't mean anything when it comes to the money.
It's true.
$1.2 million on that Kickstarter, and thanks. Then it will fail. Oh, did you get that from me?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's the gift bottle.
Cole got me a soda. Who's it? Who's yours from? Or two?
A friend.
Aww. La la la.
Mine's a friend.
So, another thing I want to talk about today was why the fuck do people keep making boat games, Steve?
Boat games.
Boat games. Why? We come to the part of the podcast where we ask, why?
Did you see the massive response on Facebook? Yeah. I just typed boat games question mark.
You you always got the classic ones like the classic GW Manowar or Battlefleet Gothic if you want to do Manowar in space.
Which has shitty wind rules, I believe Raza said.
Yes. Yeah. They're terrible. However, Battlefleet Gothic, the video game, pretty fucking cool. I'm going to say that. The mobile game.
Oh, yeah, that game is cool.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you can play it also on Steam as well. So, yeah, it shows up on Humble Bumble. Humble Bundle every once in a while. They do those GW packages, and it's like, here's like 8,000 video games for $2. And I'm like, yay! But yeah, the reason I brought that up was because Warlord Games, who've decided that they took their one cash cow game that that everybody was playing, which is Bolt Action, and they decided to spin off and create a flying game, which was Aces High, yes. And now they've created a boat game for World War II called Cruel Seas, which is hard to say. First off,
is it
cruel?
Bolt Action scale?
No, It is like. And it's not like battleships or anything like that. So you can't do like big naval battles. Like you can't do like U.S. versus Japanese Navy. These are like riverboats, like little PT boats.
Weren't almost all of the naval battles in World War II in the Pacific?
Pretty much.
Like wasn't the naval war in World War II like just the U.S. versus Japan?
Yeah.
Well, U.S. and allies versus
Japan. Well, there were
U-boats. Yeah, but the U-boats were mostly sinking like... Weren't they just doing like attacking like passenger like cruise liners and shit?
Well, no, they would attack U.S. ships as well.
Right, but I mean I don't.
But the Germans didn't have a navy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They had U-boats, which were like missiles essentially.
Yeah. They were just submarines. Yeah. They were just trying to shoot torpedoes. It's the dumbest concept for a game I've ever seen.
Sounds really bad.
It's not dumb in concept. It's just like who was demanding this game?
I don't know. People who. Don't want to play Axis and Allies?
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
I mean, Axis and Allies is just like, if you want to play, that's the thing too. Like, if you want to play a World War II game, there's really no reason not to play Axis and Allies. they kind of did it. They were like,
well, my thing in looking at this game, Cruel Seas, is I go, you can just play Battleship.
Yeah.
This is the exact same thing.
That, or you could also just like hunt down the old Axis and Allies minis game. They had an Axis and Allies boat game. They had a boat version.
Yeah.
Which apparently was pretty good.
But that was like big battleships. This isn't battleships. This is like little boats.
That's really weird.
That's what I'm saying. It's like who in their right mind was asking for this game? Now, you have to think about this, Steve. You have mini gamers. Percentage of people who are mini gamers who are like, I strictly want to play historicals, right? How much would percentage of minigamers do you think that would be? Let's just throw out an idea of like what you think.
Of all miniature gamers, like maybe like 5%.
5% just want to just or play historicals? I think there's more than 5%.
I don't think so. I think it's like 5. I think it's like 5% who just want to play historical.
I was going to say about like
maybe at one point there was more, but they're dying.
Yes.
And they're not being replaced.
They're slowly. I mean, it's not like they're being like, there's people, but it's not.
Tour shifting to just pure historical? I don't think so. Yeah.
I shouldn't say pure historical. Like, but these are people who play historicals.
Oh, okay. Then I would say that's a lot higher than 5%.
Okay, what do you say?
Maybe even 40% at
that point. Okay, so let's say 40%.
Because I know there's a lot of guys who played like 40K and then also Flames of War.
Yeah.
Like that was a big chunk of dudes. So yeah, like that's a thing.
Good, 40%. That's perfect. So you got 40%. Now let's say people out of that 40% who want to play World War II. Like that's like their thing, like World War II.
I mean, it is the most popular, but I'd still say like,
I don't think it's the most popular. I think it's probably the most poppy. But I mean, like that's like the new hip thing. But I think
Of the people who are going to play multiple games, I think they're going to play one of the big name games, and all of the big name games are World War II. Okay. There's no big name.
Yeah, so like Flames of War. Okay, right. So like Flames
there's
or
there's no big
Bolt
name
action,
not because
yeah.
The one historical game I think that looks really good is the I think it's Gripping Beast, the Viking
one.
Oh,
yeah, Saga.
Yeah, that game looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if I was going to play a historical game, that's the one I would play.
Yeah, Saga's pretty solid. Especially, I think even the first edition is still solid. They did a second edition. I don't know how much it changed the actual rules, because I don't think the rules were that complex.
No, it seemed like a pretty simple game.
My only problem is with Saga, and like some people really wanted to play Saga, and I was just like, I just don't want to paint potato sack people. Like, because that's all the figures are just dudes wearing potato sacks.
It's true.
And it's like, my dude's got green potato sacks. Your dude's got red potato sacks. Let's run them at each other.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like the percentage of playing World War II. So let's say out of that original 40%, half of that, so 20% of gamers maybe play World War II stuff, right? Now, out of that 20% of gamers, how many of them are going to want to play a boat game?
Well, a boat game with that very specific focus.
I mean, like, it's got to be... I don't know. It's got to be less than 5% out. Like,
I don't know, man.
How could Warlord decide to put the effort into making these minis on top of it?
Warlord is a weird company.
They really are.
They just kind of make whatever they want.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Beyond the Gates of Antares to know that they just do whatever they want. So,
hey, guys, we got an alternative game to 40K. Sweet. It costs twice as much. Wait.
Wait a minute.
I didn't decide to play this game to be more expensive than 40K. Speaking of General's Compendium, chapter approved drops.
Yeah, the big thing, it sold out on their website.
Yeah. Dude, like the amount of just hemorrhoidal rage that is coming out about chapter approved.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know. Like, you never could tell what these people are complaining about.
Something probably got nerfed and they're probably upset about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's something got nerfed, something got better, something... You know, it's like, whatever. It's like, if you didn't... Whatever. Just stop complaining. It's a...
I don't know. Like, I mostly see the Age of Sigmar stuff, not the 40K stuff. And, like, like I said, outside of Nagash, I think that the current edition is, like, very close to perfect.
But what about the Fiends of Slaanesh?
I think they look good. I don't know how many points they are, though. That
has not dropped yet, how many points.
Because they need to be fielded in a unit, because their wound 4 and their special ability needs 4 more models. That means that unit needs to be 5.
Yeah.
Like, to field that and, like, get the full use needs to be 5. So if they're, like, 100 points a model...
And they're $27 a piece.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the Beasts of Nurgle are that price as well.
Oh, are they? Okay.
But they're 100 points a model. But Beasts of Nurgle are designed... Like, you can field a big unit of them.
You should really only have, like, 3.
You'll need 1. Like, they work just fine in... Like, if you have 3 Beasts of Nurgle, you should have 3 units of 1.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's no real reason to field a unit of 3.
Yeah, because Soporific Musk only works if you have 4.
Right, models in the unit.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, I mean, you could. It still works, but you only get
the full
effect.
The reroll wounds is 4.
Yeah.
Because they're always reroll. They're always minus 1 to hit. They're always minus 1 to hit in melee, which is very strong.
Yeah.
But then they're also minus 1 to wound in melee if you have 4 more models, which is really strong.
Yeah.
Because that shuts down a lot of abilities.
Because when you have 4 of them, 4 wounds apiece, that's what? 4 times 5.
You want to have 5.
So you have 20.
You want to have 5.
You have 20 wounds on that out there right then. And you're rerolling...
They have to reroll. They get to reroll hits, and then they're minus 1 to be hit and minus 1 to be wounded in hand to hand, which is very good. And they're speed 12; they're very fast.
Yeah,
which means they'll hit melee very quickly, and they shut down a lot of rules because like most of the rules in Age of Sigmar go on exploding sixes for either hits or wounds. They shut down both.
I would not be surprised if the re-release of Slaanesh for Age of Sigmar is a very mobile army. Like, it's designed to be mobile.
Yeah,
with chariots,
should be fast.
Seekers.
Yeah,
and
I have no doubt that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
there's probably not going to be any on foot models in the entire army.
Well, I mean, there probably shouldn't
be. Demonettes.
Yeah, I was going to say demonettes.
But demonettes are super fast anyway. They're like going to be movement 8 or whatever.
Yeah, so there it's pretty ridiculous on that end. But yeah,
I agree with on the record for boat games. I agree with Andy Meachin. Armada, Battlefleet Gothic, Full Thrust, Aeronautica, X-Wing. Fuck them all. Boat games are shit. If I can't reverse, it's a fucking boat game. And I agree with that.
It's true. If you can't reverse, it's a boat game.
That is unreal in X-Wing to me that you can't just fucking go like turn or like
do a pivot turn. They do it in the movies.
I only play Star Wars games.
They do it in the movies.
Absolutely absurd. Like that is, and but you know what? it makes total sense when you realize the rule set's completely just lifted from a biplane game, because you know what can't just like spin and go around backwards? A fucking biplane.
Look it, there's Charlie Chaplin dancing on the top of it.
I'm glad the second edition officially, like, not officially, but the second edition has killed that game. It's
the second edition pretty much killed Fantasy Flight Games.
Womp womp womp. No, they got Keyforge now, which I have no idea why. I mean, it's super casual friendly, which is why it's popular, but I don't understand why anyone would have any sort of appeal for that game, because it's everything that's bad about card games, and it is that. Yeah. It's a rare. I don't know if you know anything about Keyforge, dear listeners.
dear listeners.
But it is a card game where you buy a box or a starter deck, and it's like a collectible card game, except there is no collectible. The box is your deck, and it's randomly generated with an algorithm. So there are unique cards and unique names and stuff like that. It's completely random. You cannot.
That's the algorithm.
You cannot modify the deck. Your deck is what you have, period. There's
no
customization, of any of that. And again, so, like, why? Why would anyone want that? Like, that's the worst part about a card game is like shitty starter decks. It's like, oh yeah, this that. Or, and like the best parts about card games is tweaking and like going like, oh, this is like, I want to try this card out. Like, it takes the best parts about card games and throws them away. It's like, no.
Well, I don't know. From what you've been telling me, Champions is pretty much dead for second season. So,
well, they need to just do some bans. That's the stuff is too strong. Like, the thing too is like the ranked mode in Champions is best of one, so it skews it skews your results.
Well, excuse me, sir. How would you know anything about skewing the results?
Yeah, like that some dude who was like gold is like arguing with me, who was like like literally number one. That's like, how are your opinions on ranked any better than mine? Mine are much better than yours. I was literally in first place. Like, I've encountered paredowns. It's a bad system. Yeah. Yeah, so like there's a whole bunch of issues, but like they'll fix it. Like I have faith that they'll fix it, because they really only need to do a couple little bans and that's it. But that being said, implement pitched battle into ranked. That would be fine too, because like there's a lot of like the pitched battle is the physical format where you get a sideboard and you have multiple champions to choose from. So some way to do that, because that would fix the skewing of ranked, because there's like Scarbrand is like the thing I don't like in card game design. He's very volatile. Like, if your opponent is playing correctly, and it's not very hard, Champions is not a very difficult game. If your opponent is playing correctly, you and them have very little impact over whether or not they're going to win if they're playing Scarbrand, because he's explosive and volatile, and it's just like they flipped his blessing, and is it like, do they get, like, it's like a lot, it's like a scratch off.
Ooh,
like,
scratchers.
Like, they need to play properly to get his blessing to flip, and then it's like, oh, did they get it? Like, you watch to see them flip their blessing, and you're just like, am I gonna lose? They flip it and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna lose. Or if they flip it and they're like, oh, I'm gonna lose. Like, that's it. And like, and I don't know why anyone would want to play that. Like, I wouldn't want to play that, because like, power is never, you consistency always better than power. So like, yeah, my win rate, so, but now instead of beating them 80%, like the difference is now, instead of beating Chaos 80% of the time, I beat Chaos 70% of the time. So they've cut 10% on my win ratio, because they can, you know, luck out harder, but they would only win if they luck out. If they don't luck out, they lose. And I would never play a deck like that. And I think that's bad game design. And they shouldn't design cards that are based around like riverboat gambling like that.
You hear that? Play Fusion?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think and the thing that's frustrating is the game is very close to being a very tightly balanced and good game, but the cards that are imbalanced are like so off the charts imbalanced, they like are fucking over the whole game.
What do those terrible Age of Warhammer Champion podcasts have to say about it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, why would you listen to one?
I listen to Hamish's.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, why?
Because I wanted to hear Hamish talk.
You want to hear Hamish talk?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't care about what he said. You just wanted to hear
it. We were paid to crack all those jokes about his mom. I felt obligated.
You felt obligated.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like listening to super, super topic specific podcasts generally. Like, even for games I'm super into, like Champions or Age of Sigmar, anything. Usually because it's like, there's just not enough, like, I don't really like I see those like 3-hour Age of Sigmar podcasts, and I'm like, how?
Like, my favorite is
how are you doing that?
My favorite is like when you have those podcasts and it's obviously like four people talking from different corners of the earth.
Oh yeah,
they're and all it's like on you'll have two people talking with some like decent microphones, and the one guy in the background is like, "Hey, how are you doing over there? Yeah, I got my microphone." And they're like, "Yeah, I'm Joe, and with me Steven over there in the corner. We got Wicked Mike.
Hey, how you doing over there? What's going on over here?
Does anyone want any sodas?"
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't get. There was one podcast I listened to for a little bit, an Age of Sigmar one, which was pretty good because they did deep lore, which I Ooh, thought which worked for a single subject podcast because the majority of what they were talking about was like fiction books and like the background of armies. They like most of the podcast was about like I listened to the one they did about Fire Slayers, and most of it was just about like who the Fire Slayers are, their background, sort of that, and then like. The very tail end was like about the rules.
Oh, so that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do my old world lore podcast, right? Just talk about the old world, like pre Age of Sigmar.
Yeah,
that's
what
I'm gonna do.
But that would work. That's the thing. Like
today, we're talking about Paravan, the province of Bretonnia.
Sure,
in the old world.
But like, I mean, you jest. But I think that would actually be a fine podcast.
Giles la Jungle is the jest.
The problem I have with a lot of those single subject podcasts is they talk very like. Laser focused about like the deep rules and stuff, and that's not really entertaining to me. That's not what I'm looking for.
No, keeping you on topic on a broad topic is hard enough.
Yeah, I want broads.
I want broads.
I need more broads.
Going back to our broad topic, what I was talking about with the boat game with the cruel seas, I wanted to get your opinion. Is that, and this was an argument.
Someone actually mentioned cruel seas in the thread. Yeah,
one of the things I was arguing about was it's like you have bolt action, right? The World War II game, they have the plane game that they have, which is, you know, the whatever.
Is the plane game at least in the same scale as Cruel Seas?
No. And then you have Cruel Seas, which is in a different scale. But the thing is, they don't align them into, like, one brand. Like, one of the cool things about 40K was that you had Battlefleet Gothic, Epic, what was the other, the flight game, the flying game?
Aeronautica.
40K basic, like you had them all, they were at different scales, but they were all under one brand. So if you wanted to, like, let's say you're a hardcore Ultramarines player, you could have your Ultramarines army in every one of those scales, and you could bring it out and play it, and you could do all sorts of stuff with that.
Epic Armageddon Ultramarines.
Yeah. Then you have this, but it's like it's so all like all over the place scattered. Like, yes, you could have like I have my USA boat fleet, I have my army, and I have my USA airplanes.
All I want is an army of tankettes.
But it's not like there's no like vertical integration to go to parlance. It's just it's so bizarre.
You got me, bro.
I don't know. Like you could do that. Whatever. It's just it's dumb to me. I like if you're gonna do that. Like every game, like Dystopian Legions even did that, where you'd have your 28mm, and you have your little your tanks and your planes and your boats.
So is that stuff valuable yet, or is it super cheap?
Dystopian Wars? Oh, it's cheap. Okay. You can get it anywhere pretty cheap.
Okay.
Miniature Market, which is the graveyard of all miniatures games.
It's true.
You could go there during the Christmas sales. Like I was like, oh, that's cheap. I kind of want to buy it, but no. Like, if you wanted Dust Tactics, that was the place to go, because Fantasy Flight pretty much sold off their entire stock of Dust Tactics to Miniature Market, and Miniature Market was selling Dust Tactics figures for about $1 a box.
Nice.
I was like, oh.
You could finally have completed your Dust Tactics Megaforce.
Yeah, I sold all my Dust Tactics.
Good call.
I think I had that painted army, I think I ended up selling it for like $250 for everything.
I played the game a few times. I wasn't impressed.
It was fine.
But I didn't play I played the original one.
Yeah,
the one
now Warfare. Called,
yeah, I didn't play Dust Warfare, but I was not impressed by the board game.
Yeah, it was fine. I liked it. I thought it was fun. Yeah. I played in a Dust Tactics tournament at Gen Con once. I won Best Painted.
Were you the only painted army?
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I wasn't the only painted, but I did win Best Painted. Not that there was anything for it, because it was like a tournament of like 8 people, so whatever. But yeah, so whatever. Fantasy Flight's dead. It's dead.
It's dead to me.
It's dead to me. I don't know. Dust 47 still is out and about for some odd reason. I don't know.
Paulo Puente has fans, man.
He does. I bet you. I wonder if he's like, is he secretly racist or outwardly racist? Because I think he might be one of the two.
I have no idea.
Like PewDiePie.
I don't know. Well, he's outwardly racist.
He's outwardly racist. Good times, good times. Do we have anything else to talk about from the gaming world? You got your start.
This Borg has a taut buttocks.
What is the Borg in this game? Isn't this original Star Trek?
It's all. Yeah, you could play Enterprise, you could play original series, you can play Next Generation.
But this is for the RPG, right? This isn't a maze game.
No. This is for the RPG. This is all just RPG stuff. So I got Romulan, some Klingons, Borg, and then I have the TNG crew and the original series crew. they're all pretty good. And there's Worf.
You got Worf
here. You know he's Worf.
Remember how Worf was the only person who was promoted throughout the entire run of Star Trek?
Didn't Geordi get promoted?
Oh, Geordi did get promoted, but he stayed on the ship.
But he still got promoted.
He didn't even really get promoted. He just he went from an ensign to chief engineer for some odd reason. Like, how the hell did that happen?
Was he? He wasn't an ensign.
He was just a normal dude on the bridge.
He was Lieutenant Geordi LaForge.
Yeah, he was a lieutenant.
Yeah,
okay.
And then he got
so he's a lieutenant.
He got promoted to chief engineer.
Promoted the chief. It's like
Miles O'Brien also got promoted.
He is weird though, because
and Barkley.
Oh, we don't talk about Barkley.
I love Barkley.
He's the
How
worst.
Do you not like Barkley? Barkley's the best.
Worst.
How do you not like Barkley? Barkley is an actual human being.
Yeah, well, Miles
with a redemption arc. Well, yeah, and of course Miles O'Brien, his foibles are endless.
But Miles O'Brien's background doesn't make any sense. Like, he starts out as an enlisted man, and then all of a sudden he's an officer, and then he's
he's a veteran of the Cardassian War.
Yeah.
He hates Cardassians.
He does hate the Cardassians.
Goddamn Cardassians. He's fucking talking about him drinking scotch. He's having his fucking war flashbacks.
Call Meany. Every time are you one of those people who every time you see Call Meany pop up in a movie, you're just like, hey, that's Miles O'Brien.
I've never seen him in a film.
You've had to have seen him in a movie.
Not that I can recall. The only thing I can recall him from is Star Trek.
Not even the Englishman that went up a hill and came down a mountain?
What? I don't even know what the fuck that is.
The Hugh Grant movie of the 1990s?
I definitely don't know what the fuck
that is. Okay, he was in Con Air, Under Siege, Layer Cake. Those are three movies that you should know right off the bat.
I've never seen Layer Cake, but the other two, obviously. I just don't remember him in those films.
You've never seen Layer Cake? You'd like Layer Cake.
I don't think I've seen Layer Cake.
It's one of those Guy Ritchie,
heist movies?
Yeah, one of those British accent movies.
Well, heist movies.
Where you're like, is that guy really tough? Because he has a British accent, so he can't be that tough.
I don't know. Vinny Jones is pretty tough.
Oh, Vinny Jones is different. That's Bulletproof Tony.
Bulletproof Tony. Bullet Tooth Tony. Why do they call him Boris the Bullet Dodger? Because he
dodges bullets,
Avi.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I don't necessarily. I've known a lot of these movies, but I don't think you'd know. He was also on Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, I've never seen Stargate Atlantis.
How have you never seen Stargate? Have you never seen any of the Stargate shows?
Yeah, I know.
You would love the fuck out of the Stargate shows.
Yeah, I don't know. I had never really got super interested in them.
I know, but it's...
There's no Kurt Russell, man.
Yeah, but it's got MacGyver.
It does have MacGyver, and that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Does Scott Bakula ever show up? Because if Scott Bakula's in Stargate, then maybe.
I don't think he's ever on
What
there.
About The Rock? Is The Rock in any episodes of Stargate?
No, but Jason Momoa is on Stargate Atlantis.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's the main character in Stargate Atlantis.
I do like Jason Momoa.
Yeah. I think Jolene Bielak shows up on a couple episodes of Stargate.
Nice.
So you can have some seven... No, she was not T'Pol. T'Pol. Okay.
Yeah, T'Pol.
Because T'Pring was the one from the original series.
Right.
Yes. Because I think originally that they were supposed to make T'Pol T'Pring, but they would have to pay the guy who created T'Pring.
Right. So they just made T'Pol.
Yeah. So they were like.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes of the animated series.
Yeah,
pretty good.
We talked about it on the last cast.
Did we?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I remember I wanted to talk about it.
Well, you watched a lot of things lately. You like Happy.
Yeah, Happy's good.
Happy's a great fuck. You know, Warren Ellis writes that show, so.
That checks out. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It's a great fucking show.
Yeah, Happy's really good. It's Stabler. It's awesome.
And did we talk about the Ballad of Buster Scruggs on the last podcast?
I don't know if we did, but that was fantastic. Ballad of Buster Scruggs is real fucking good.
I rewatched it because we might be doing a new podcast where we talk about just streaming movies.
Oh, nice.
And we're you know, I think Film Spotting used to have what called SVU, Film Spotting SVU, a streaming video unit.
Oh, okay.
So something similar to that where we're going to, but I think we're going to do Buster Scruggs as the first movie. And I rewatched it again and I'm like, God damn, that opening sequence is so amazing.
I thought they were all very good.
They were all different. They were all very different.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah. There was two.
And then there was the weird documentary part where they just followed, What's his name?
Tom Waits?
Tom Waits. Yeah, okay. They just followed Tom Waits around on his daily life.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Like,
I'm going to dig for gold and play on a calliope.
It was weird that they just followed Tom Waits around for some of his daily life. But, I mean, fit.
Yeah. God damn. Where the gold at?
That was good.
No, I think there's two solid, like, A-plus sequences in that entire movie.
The final sequence is really good, too.
But it's not great. It's not a good one to end on.
I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was very good. The more I reflected on it, the more I thought the movie was set up very well.
The Liam Neeson one with...
That one is fucked up. That's so horrible.
It's so fucked
like,
up.
Like, it's good, but it's horrible.
There's so much, like, deep hidden shit
that
in
is
that.
That is one of the most fucked up short movies I've ever seen in my life.
There's so much, like, hidden shit into reading into that. Because everything he talks about, he talks about, like, how this dude, this guy who has no arms and no legs, he's not quadriplegic, but I guess he kind of is.
He's limbless.
He's limbless.
It's a different thing. Quadriplegic means you're paralyzed.
Paralyzed, yeah. He's limbless. And he's, like, everything that he's talking about is all about, like, how he's a slave. Like, how he's enslaved.
He's basically this dude's property. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's
super fucked up.
And then he finds a chicken.
And there's a chicken.
But I love the way that it ends, though, because it, like, ends. It doesn't tell you anything, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't tell you anything.
And if you paid careful attention, you realize that he was also swindled on top of it being
Exactly. Yes. So it's fucked up on many levels.
Yeah. It's very fucked up.
Yeah. But yeah,
I very much enjoyed Buster Scruggs.
Did it make you want to play some Legends of the Old West?
No.
No, you don't want to play. You don't want to paint up a little like Buster Scruggs figure.
No. If Legends of the Old West was absurd, then yes, but it's not. It's very realistic. It's
gritty. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should create an Old West,
a pop Western game.
An
absurd one.
An absurd one. Yeah.
You like can kick tables over and like jump super high, like a superhero Western.
Yeah. Like you could if you're like up high. You could, I'm going to whistle for my horse and you roll the dice and the horse comes underneath you and jump onto the horse and you're all of a sudden horse, like mounted.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that I think would be great. You know, it's like, we'd have to come up with a system in which like everyone is shooting, but no one is hitting each other for some odd reason, which is most mini games, but it has to be like lots of bullets flying.
Oh no. I think we should make make the fastest paced minis game ever where like, if you get hit, you're dead. like a super lethal, you got shot, you're dead. Like, your guy died.
But that's not what happens in the Pop Westerns. The Pop Westerns, everyone's shooting and no one hits anything.
Oh, no. I meant like Buster Scruggs style, where, like, everyone dies very fast.
Like when Clancy Brown's head explodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just very fast.
Surly Joe.
Yeah. Very rapid, like, holy shit, oh my God! Like, that. You got to get that in the gameplay.
Yeah, we have to have the balladeers has to be a character that you have to that you could have in your war band or whatever else have you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who comes in playing.
And if there's more than one balladeer, they have to face off.
Yeah, it's destined. It's essentially a bard character.
Yeah,
yeah. Now that's something else that should be done, and I know there's a few times that it's kind of been approached, but someone needs to do a kind of gunslinger, Dark Tower. Fantasy Western type thing for an RPG but not like
Deadlands.
But Deadlands is Old West. I'm not talking Old West. I'm talking like you take this classic D&D tropes of warrior, ranger, bard, and you put them into a kind of fantasy Western.
That is a thing. I cannot think of it, but there is an RPG that is literally that.
Okay.
It's actually that. It's like elves and like fighters and shit in a fantasy Western.
Yeah.
That's a thing that exists. I cannot fucking remember the name of it.
Is it Dark Sun?
It's not Dark Sun. Dark Sun's fucking cool, but that's post-apocalyptic fantasy, which is a great genre. But no, that totally is a thing, and I cannot... It might be called like Elf West or something like that.
That's a terrible name.
It's got a terrible name.
I wonder why no one plays this game.
Yeah.
All right. So before
it's gonna bug the crap out of me.
Before we end today, I wanted to shoot this out to our listeners and see if anybody can help me because this came from a friend of my wife's and she wanted to know this. And she asked, there is a game that I played when I was a kid that involved putting together pattern with blocks. You had a card that you attached this slowly rotating thing, and when your card passed by, you had to try and memorize as much as possible to work on your pattern, and otherwise wait until it came around again. The first to finish the pattern hit the top of the contraption to stop it, and maybe yell something, wins. I've been trying to remember what the name of this game was, and would like to see if they still make it, because it was a lot of fun. Does anybody know what it is?
I have absolutely no idea what that is.
I know a lot of obscure board games from the 70s and 80s. This one's, they think it's from the 70s or 80s. If anyone knows, let me know. You could post a picture of it on the Facebook page or PM me. This is the game that I said it was when I sent it back to her. Steve?
Line of Coke? Nice.
Everybody loves Line of Coke. The mirror spins around. Wait for your Line of Coke to come by. First one to finish up their line wins. But yeah, so if anybody knows that, I'd appreciate the answer, because we could be heroes just for one day. All right, Steve, so do we have anything else?
I got nothing, man.
You got nothing? I'm trying to think if I got anything. No. If anybody knows a good army generator for 6th or 7th edition fantasy, Warhammer Fantasy, let me know that as well, because I've been looking for one. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. You could also help out the podcast by like, comment, and subscribing on the iTunes. You could also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. Did we get featured in YouTube Rewind, Steve?
I don't think we'd be featured in YouTube Rewind.
I think the kids are talking about it. I don't know what it's about.
Are they?
I don't know why, but they are. I think it's time for a rewind, Steve. You could also listen into our sister podcast. You got the Play On podcast, where Steve and Pat talk all about the video games that are coming out, how they like to play the Fortnites and do the Fortnite dances.
Finally.
And Deconstructing Daycare, which is all about children's cartoons through the eyes of the adults. You know, you got to watch this stuff. You got to listen to stuff before Pat B gets arrested for programming a robot to kill us all. Because there's been like 6 robot attacks in the last week, Steve.
A lot of robot attacks.
You see the one that like ripped open the can of bear mace?
No, but that's cool.
It's like, oh man, I bet you Pat programmed that robot.
He checks out.
And there was another guy who was hit by like stabbed a bunch of times by a robot. It was a stabbing robot, Steve.
Wiki, Wild Wild West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider, no, you don't want nada, none of this six gun in this brother running this buffalo soldier, look, it's like I told you, any damsel that's in this dress will be out of that dress when she meets Jim West, Rough Rider, no, you remember the name, Westbound,
I found Westbound.
There is an older one, but this is the new one. This is in 2017, it was a Kickstarter. It's Revolvers and Rituals set in the fantasy Wild West. Elf cowboys and ogre spellslingers wander a vast Western world while utilizing an intuitive D52 system for exploration and combat, which means it's a deck of playing cards.
Ah.
That's what D52
is.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying on that one.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is with that? No matter what race you make the natives, it's going to be slightly racist.
Unless you just make them... regular ass nut fucking Native Americans.
Yeah, that's the only way you could get around that. I mean,
but I don't think it's happening in America.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it'd probably just be orcs.
Yeah, I mean, like that's definitely the top racist thing is if you make the Native Americans the orcs. Like it's slightly less racist, but still racist if you make them like the elves, because that's like playing onto like the whole like noble savage thing. You don't want that. You can make them dwarves, kind of, but that doesn't work as well.
I mean, I've always been of a mind, if you're gonna do that, why don't you just make them Native Americans? Like just legit make them humans, Native Americans. Like,
yeah,
done.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that.
You can sidestep all of the grimy issues by just doing that.
Yeah. There's a fantasy book by Joe Abercrombie, which I really like. It's called Red Country, which is basically a fantasy Western. And if you ever read Joe Abercrombie stuff, if you haven't read Joe Abercrombie stuff, you should, because it's fucking amazing. And it's going to be a TV show soon, so you could get on the ground floor and say, like, I like this shit before it became popular.
You can get your hipster, get your hipster ready.
You can get your hipster being a bona fides all taken care of before you do that. All right, so Steve, until next time.
I was going to sing the Wild Wild West thing here,
yeah,
but I already
did
it.
Yeah, you blew your load.
So, yeah, kind of...
Here come the men in black.
It looks like the orcs in this Westbound game have 4 arms, which is pretty fucking cool.
That's, I guess.
I mean, I don't know why, but it's cool.
That's not the way biology works, Steve.
Game classy.